Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, January 30th, 2023. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern. If you're listening live over our radio or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. Well, if anyone would like to email a question, you could send your questions to questions, that's plural, questions, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on the donation tab on the top right-hand side of our website. You can support us also by purchasing the books, Government by Consent and Court Access to the Common Law. You can find them on the right-hand side of the website. Also, join our campaign for constitutional sheriffs. You can find them on our front, that on my front page, or even on the right-hand side of our website. Okay, we're going to be picking up in a new book this week, and we just finished the Book of Romans last week. So this week we're going to start. Let's see if I can get this open here. Nope, wrong one. Here it is. Okay, let me make sure that's Hebrews. Okay, we're going to be picking up in the book of Galatians. We'll be chapter 1 this week. Read by Alexander Scorby.
The Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Galatians. Chapter 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me, unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia, and returned again unto Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they had heard only, that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me.
John, if you're talking, I'm not hearing.
Okay, I had my mic muted, sorry. All right, well, are there any questions or any announcements to be made?
We have absolutely no questions tonight or announcements.
Okay. All right, I know someone had written something somewhere. They were interested in some information on the IRS. I don't know if people have an interest in that. Let me know through mail at nationallibertyalliance.org, and maybe we can share some information. I think tonight we're going to go pretty quick into an open forum, so if anybody wants to get into the queue, it's a star 6 and a 1 if you're coming in on a phone, or if you have an app, there should be a button to get into the queue. I want to make a note here that we are finished, completed the paperwork. Let me see if I can find it quickly enough.
Hey, John. There was one person that wanted to know if they could forward your email, your last email, to all the people on their list when you requested support.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Okay, I'll pass it along.
Okay, thank you. By the way, did you have time to look at those letters that I've written?
I sent one back 2 days ago.
No, I didn't. I guess you put it in my Skype. I guess you put it into my Skype. I didn't even look, so sorry.
No, I emailed it, John.
Oh,
John at National Liberty Alliance. Yeah.
I didn't see it for some reason. Maybe you can email it again or drop it in the Skype either or. Because okay. I've been checking my email a lot, and since we've been asking for people for money to help support what we need to do, we need to upgrade our website. As of an hour ago when I looked last, it looks like we have about $1,200 that have been donated for that purpose, so I appreciate that. We still need more, and anybody, I believe the maximum on this, they told me, is going to be $6,000. I'm going to try to get more specific. But I got a call into the technician, technical support, and just left a message for him to call me tomorrow that I do want to go ahead with moving the site over, getting it copied, and see what kind of fault happens at that point, because that's where the concern is how much damage is going to be done to that particular, one site to upgrade to the next site, because we have a lot of plugins to our program, and some of them were written by others. And they may not go over very well, so we're going to have to get involved with a lot of work to repair that and some other, miscellaneous items. But in any event, it is important that we do move our site and we prepare for a potential, mass of people coming on, critical mass. I do suspect, and, we don't know until it happens, but I do suspect that we're going to get some attention here with this paper. This paper is going out to a lot of people. I got about 20 or 25 people on a list we're going to be sending a copy to. And these a lot of these people, some of these people anyway, have, influence with large groups of other people. So it could go pretty good and become, very active. I think I'll do something I'm not on YouTube anymore, but I'll do something, I'm sure, on Rumble when I get a chance. But anyway, the other thing is we did finish the paperwork complete now, the mandamus to the Supreme Court. And if anybody wants to read it, you can find it, in case you don't know, under today's issues and come down to mandamus to the Supreme Court. Click on that and you'll get a copy of the writ mandamus. It's a total of 232 pages, but the paper to the Supreme Court is actually 20 pages. The rest of the pages are all memorandums, attachments, in support of each of the things that we're requiring that the United States Supreme Court do. And the ultimate conclusion to having them work on each one of these 18 points and make declarations is really to open up a common law court. All of these things are necessary in order to have a common law court back. And that's the key and that's the point. We have a lot more we need to do in the courts, a tremendous amount of work to do in the courts. But once we can get courts of record acknowledged by the United States Supreme Court and that it's the law of the land and an order down, a writ mandamus from the United States Supreme Court to all 94 federal district courts, Once that command goes down is to open up the doors of justice again, allow people to come into the courts without cost, and to give them their courts of record and with uninfringed. Rule 12 is irrelevant. Rules don't apply to we the people. They need to be rendered null and void. And again, if you read through the papers, we make each point all the way through. Again, there are 18 points, I believe. I know there are 18 memorandums, so there are 18 points. Actually, there's more than 18 points, because in some of the memorandums covers more than one point, so it might be something like 24 points. But again, all of these things are necessary in order to open up a court of record, because the federal courts are denying that and won't permit it. But once we get this done in the federal courts, then it's a slam dunk in any lower court, because immediately, if they reject us to open up a court of record, they reject the court of justice, they deny us our due process, they hijack into jurisdictions unknown, then we can take that immediately to the Supreme Court for an order to be obedient to the law. And so pretty much any issue we have to deal with, we'll be able to get a court of record open. And also there are other things we can do in the lower courts to require the judge's obedience and to acknowledge a court of law and to not hijack it or injure it in any way. And we'll get into those details as time goes on. It's pretty much really serving what's called a writ quo warranto onto the people within the courts, all the officers of the court, and requiring them to give us their oaths, their bonds, and their financials. And if they refuse to do it, then they have to leave their office. They got 10 days to do it, and that's the law. So it'll be very powerful, and I do believe we're going to have a good chance to have this done. I hope sooner than later. No doubt in my mind, in my heart, that eventually it will be done, because there's no other way that this nation can continue forward with the courts that we have. They're total destruction to courts of justice. And so we will eventually get it. I think we can get it right away. I don't see, you know, a reason for it to be held up from the White Hat's sort of positions. You know, when the Brunsons went and did their case, I think I mentioned this last week or the week before, when the Brunsons brought their case before the United States Supreme Court, and we heard that the military had responded and told the court that they needed to hear this case, and that's what we understand happened. But then the decision was rejected, and I don't think that could have happened unless they realized there was other plans in view. And I can see the disruption that would have taken place in the Congress at this point in time. I think it's too early to have these people arrested. They still need to reveal more about themselves, and I think there are things happening that is forcing that to happen. And so at some point, when it comes to a head, and then all of the evidence is poured out to the public when they're able to bear it, because it's going to be pretty rough for people who haven't been following along with this. You know, those of us who have been involved for years, and even a year or two, you know, at least we've been weaned a little bit from the problem, in the sense that, well, maybe that's not a good word, weaned. we've been given information little by little, okay? And you know, and all the, I know when I first started hearing about these things going back 20 years ago, I just couldn't believe it. What I was hearing and seeing coming to an understanding and then starting to research, I just couldn't believe these things. It was just hard to comprehend, hard to take in. And as time went on, it became more and more of a horror story, exactly what is happening and how bad it is and how great it is. You know, I won't get into any of the stories, but in any event, it's going to be a major shock. As Q puts it, it's going to be biblical. So we're waiting for that. But in any event, there's no reason that I can think of that would prevent the courts from being returned to courts of records, because the people wouldn't even know it. So it wouldn't affect, in my opinion, I don't think it would affect their plans. Of course, we'll see what happens with that. But the bottom line is we are reporting subversion at its highest highest places. And they have no choice but to deal with this particular case. We're saying it's a national emergency concerning high treason. And there is a law, A, that when someone knows that there's treason taking place, they must report it to some judge or the president. And we've done that through this paper. And B, they receive that, they have to respond or they become guilty as principal. That's the law, okay? The military has the same problem because they're going to be served also as enforcement. We've written that up in our papers here. let me see where. I think it's up front here. Nope, it must be in a little bit. No, maybe not. Maybe it's up on first page here. Well, right here, page I was on originally. I guess I just missed it. So we're copying NORAD, okay, for enforcement, and we're also copying the National Guard. And it is the job of those both of those military agencies. They have a duty. Once they've been informed, they have a duty. Now, we already know that they know. I don't know that they understand, because I've met few people that do understand this, except for those who have been looking into this and studying and discovering what common law really is and what our heritage really is and how we became a nation and who we are as a people. You know, I haven't heard about these things anywhere else. I've heard about common law from some people here or there, but the things that we have found out and the things that we've been letting out into the, you know, teaching and bringing out into the people, is their knowledge of how common law really works, how the courts really work, how the people run the courts. I mean, it's just so far different than what's going on. And so it's going to be all brand new to a lot of these people. I've discovered that lawyers have a real hard time comprehending this at all. They go into la-la land. They just can't buy it. They can't accept it because they've been brainwashed so heavily. And they've been working in the system under a brainwashed situation for a long time and making a lot of money. And so it's going to be hard for them to give those things up. First of all, the things within their mind, or maybe first of all for them, the money, because that is the most horrible thing about what's going on in our legal system is all the money that's being made with these people. They're all crooked, and they got to know that a lot of the money they're taking is just dirty money. What they're doing to get it is just wrong, and how they play it out in the courts, how the case is going to turn up, and so on and so forth, what goes on in the back rooms, so to speak. Same thing in the political realms. All the deals are made in the back rooms, and then the people are suckered into it. Anyway, that's the work we're doing, is to really change all that, to bring the true committee man ability back to the people. And to bring the courts, the true courts, the courts of record, the court of common law, back to the people, where the people decide everything. And also back to the sheriff court, for no one can bring a case to the grand jury. A common law grand jury cannot be addressed by anyone other than someone else who is part of the common law. They cannot be addressed by any of these lawyers that come in. And the prosecutors and U.S. attorneys, which are prosecutors, they cannot go see the grand jury. It's against the law. And in common law, only two people, and you go back in history, and this is what I've discovered, only two people are able to confront the grand jury. That's the coroner and the sheriff. Now, of course, the people themselves can, too. But generally speaking, in the case of a criminal case, it's necessity for them to bring it to the sheriff. And the sheriff, it's his duty to bring it to the jury if he believes that there is a case there. Enough evidence to bring to the jury. Let's put it that way. It doesn't have to be enough to convict, just enough evidence to see that some kind of a law was broken. And in likelihood, this person is the probable person who done it. But it doesn't have to be proven. And the grand jury can hear the case, and they don't have to have it proven to them either. They just have to see the possibility there, and then, of course, it's up to the trial jury to discover the truth. And that's the process. But no one can go before call the grand jury. As a matter of fact, The federal prosecutors, the U.S. attorneys, didn't even have the authority or the power to call forth the grand jury until the 1970s. I don't remember, it was early 70s, maybe 71 or 72. And that's when Congress wrote a statute or a code in order for U.S. attorneys to be able to address the jury. And I don't know how things were going on in other states. I never looked deep into that. But it doesn't matter either in any event because they're not capable of addressing the jury. Again, only the common law individuals who are elected by the people and have taken an oath of common law and their only interest is common law, not code enforcement or anything else, just common law and the truth. So, in any event, this is the kind of court we need to bring back. And then the people, of course, they decide whether there is a crime, a potential crime or not. They decide whether there's going to be an indictment or not. And then if there's an indictment, then it's the people who decide, not only the law, but not only the facts, but the law. And it's the people who decide what the penalty might be, with an eye on restitution, not an eye on fines, not an eye on jail. Maybe that's appropriate. That's up to the people to decide. Common law is not all about jail. Common law is all about restitution. You steal a man's ox, you got to give him back three. There are principles, and there are biblical principles. The maximum I've ever seen, and many of the courts have agreed upon it anyway to the same degree, is tenfold. And that sounds reasonable. You steal $1,000, you got to give back $10,000, something of that nature. So it's got to be reasonable. But it's still up to the people to decide. All everything in the court. No judge or no political animal of any type has the opportunity to come into a court to make any decision, to make any order, or to do anything in a court of record. It's all run by the people. This is all new to the people. It was new to me. As I was researching this and bringing this to light, it's new to me. So it's going to be new to a lot of people. It may take them a little time to digest. But people who are not attorneys will see it a hell of a lot quicker than people who are attorneys. I'll leave it right there. I guess we're going to go into an open forum. So if anybody has any questions, like I said, get into the queue. *6 and 1 if you're on a phone. And there should be a button there to get into the queue if you're coming in on an app. Okay, I see the first person here looks like Ross. So let me click on the button. Ross, you got the mic. Hey, before you go, Ross.
Yes.
There's a lot of noise in the background.
I know, because I'm in the living room, that's why.
Okay. Lower the noise in around you, because it's coming in with a lot of interference. I just want to know, I see it's Gerard. Gerard, are you here? Is that you down there?
To the intelligence agencies that authored them. And they should be answering us, and if they don't,
yeah. We're going to have to okay. You want me to
pass that to you around 10 o'clock, okay?
Until they respond to us.
Okay. All right, Ross, if you go right ahead, can you lower the TV? Because we can't, we're getting a lot of
information. You need to lower the TV, guys.
I simply want to know what the materials are. That's all I want to know. I want to know what the materials are. And I want to know
John?
Yeah, go ahead, give it a try, and when you're finished, then mute your mic while I answer, and you can come back and forth. It's a little, I think it's a little better, but go ahead.
I was just going to tell you, on last Monday, I couldn't make it to the special meeting you guys have on Tuesday, last Tuesday. Because I worked at 1 o'clock at Fred Meyer's, a grocery store in Sandy. That's why I couldn't make it to that meeting you guys had
right.
on
well,
Tuesday.
Do you have any questions or any other comments?
What was that, the meeting on last Tuesday?
I don't want to get into too much of it, but it was a leadership meeting, and we were talking with some new people, and, you know, we're National Liberty Alliance, and we do want to align with other national groups, or other groups altogether. It doesn't matter whether they're national or not. But we also want to be very careful, and I believe we've got three groups now that we'll be working with, and pretty much that's what it was about.
Uh-huh.
Some of the ideas of how we can work together, and once we form whatever we're going to form, then you know, we'll get into detail and inform our membership on whatever it is that we decided to do. But we do support others' work, but we do have to be in certain agreement with certain things in order to work together with other groups. But anyway, that's what it was about. Anything else, Ross?
Saying you will submit to the Supreme Court. You guys did that last Tuesday?
What about that?
Was it about the lawsuit you were submit to the Supreme Court of the United States?
No, we weren't talking about that at that
time. Okay.
Okay.
That's
it.
Say that again.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ross. Appreciate it.
Say that again.
Okay, we'll take on that.
What are you telling me? Are you talking to me?
No, I was just saying you had to turn down.
Okay, next question. Let's see, we have someone from 415 area code, the wireless caller. Can you give us your first name and your state?
Hold on.
I'm hearing something.
Hi, can you hear me?
Well, go ahead. I can hear you. What's your first name and your state?
Yeah, Jennifer, California.
Jennifer from California. Go right ahead, Jennifer.
Yeah. Okay. Our county, Solano County, it's more up in the central California, I guess, or not quite north in California, by Sacramento is where we are. We just did our notary in, for our charter for Committee of Safety for our county, which we're excited about. And so we're getting organized. We've been having some trouble finding space because we already had a group of 30 plus regular members coming before we became a committee of safety for our county, and we no longer have that space. So we're just getting problems at every turn. So we've been struggling in that area.
Let me suggest a few things to you that have worked. And we've used town halls. Are you in a small town or are you in a city? Where are you?
Well, it's a pretty large county. So, you know, it's pretty, like, probably 300,000 people. And
okay.
Well, that's
the size of the county, and that's fine. And the towns aren't all of that large. Or, you know, you're not in a big city. That's the big thing, because that could be problematic.
No.
But you could. There's numerous towns, and you can pick a town where you want to have the meeting in that's close by, that works for everybody within the county. I always look for a central location within the county. And and then you can go to the town hall and make arrangements to use the hall on certain days once a month, and whatever the case may be. Maybe in the beginning you want to do twice a month, but once a month usually. And you just have to get onto the log for them. They can't refuse you. It's the people's business. Well, what do you want to? They don't even have any business asking what you want to do about. But you could just say we're just interested people and working in a committee of safety and things for the community. It's none of their business. They have to give it to people.
But
do
they charge you?
No charge on that. That's it's free. We own the halls. We own those places.
Well,
and those are meeting places, not. Well, that's the second place, the library.
Well, they charge you per hour, and they you have to be a nonprofit before you're allowed to use the room.
Yeah, well, that couldn't be debated. I don't know if you have anyone with skills to be able to articulate the situation to them and let it and take it into the court, but that becomes a problem. So I wouldn't waste my time there, you know. But I am totally surprised that the library would charge anything to use a room. And this is the library is paid for by us, and you should take that. you know, you can take that maybe to the councilman or to maybe other state representative, one of your state representatives, and have them look into it and force them to obey the law. Look, we paid for that. You're not going to charge us for that. Why would you charge us for that?
$50 an hour.
Yeah. That's insane. That's insane. Someone should go to jail for that. That's against the law. And someone could. That is a crime, as a matter of fact, because they came together to make that decision. That's a crime to make money off the people.
I know. It's a public library.
If you want to pursue it and use a library, you can pursue it from that perspective. You could try another library. Town halls is the best place. And you know what one of the best places is a real good place, is rod and gun clubs. So if there's a rod and gun club in your county, usually there's quite a few. I know up here in New York there's quite a few of them in each county.
Okay.
Quite a few of them in our county, three or four.
Okay, because we're itching to grow. I mean, you know, like really get big. Like you say up to 250. We could do that. It's just we got a lot of good things happening. It's just we're just struggling with space so we can grow.
Right. Well, if you have 30 people with you right now, you're absolutely right. You can grow very quickly because, you know, within a year you could be a couple of hundred people easily. And as we're more and more successful, you could be 1,000. And that's what you want to get to. You want to get hundreds of people, 1,000 people, as many as
you. Yeah, I know. That's what we're trying to do. And we did get, I got a lot of, you saw some recent California from Solano County. That's us that are become members of NLA. That have joined, you know, with NLA, with members. So we're trying to get some correspondence back from our district lead for NLA, and we're having a hard time getting a response. So I've reached out a couple times, because we're trying to reach out to people, members, NLA members in the counties around us, like Napa and Sonoma County, Sacramento County. But
and you haven't been able to get contact with anyone to give you the list?
Yeah, I mean, initially I got contact because I made a phone call, and then since then I've emailed, but I just haven't heard back. So I guess I have to make phone calls to get a response, maybe.
And who have you been sending it to? Do you remember?
Marna.
Okay. Let me take a quick look here. You're in California, so let me take a real quick look in it. That's district number 2. Okay. All right. I'm sure they'll get back to you. The other thing is, let's take a look at California. California has quite a few people, if I remember. Goodness, you have 1,100 members in California, 1,127, so there's a lot of people you can contact. Now, California is quite big, and I'm sure you know that. But, you know, you can get the people in the certain counties that are reasonably close to you and call in. And it's good to get people in other counties nearby, remember, because they become sister counties to you. And from them coming to your meeting to learn what you're doing, and then you can assist them to help them to get their counties going.
That's what we want to do, and, you know, we're trying to get, you know, we've got our five, you know, for our board, but, yeah, we're wanting to reach out to our counties close by, so I need the list, right, of the NLA members so I can start reaching out to these people.
All right, we'll try again in a day or so. If you don't get a response for whatever reason that might be, get a hold of Jan, just send Jan an email, Jan@National Liberty Alliance, but I'm sure, you know, he's listening in right now. Maybe he'll be able to help behind the scenes.
And then,
I just want to give her some information also that would be good for them, like especially committees of safety, and they want you to have a tax exemption and all this baloney. They can get themselves under that thing I'm working on with John Weissman. She maybe should contact him because I kind of dropped the ball. I'm behind the eight ball here. I should have had more information. But I don't know if you know, most 501(c)s in this country do not need to be 501(c)s. There's like a 508, which is something they had to put aside because, like churches and ministries and that, they get an automatic exemption, no paperwork to the IRS. Like with the 501(c), it's horrible. You got to tell them every jot and everything, and you got to have meetings, and they make you a corporation. But I guess the group of people that got together and they said, no, you cannot require us to do these things. And you have to give us these exemptions, and we get the same the same benefits as a 501(c). And it's called a self-supported ministry. And really, look at, we all have a ministry. Look at, we're under God and country here. This is a ministry of what we're doing here at National Liberty Alliance. And it's in a ministry that you guys are doing because you're preaching one, you know, God and country, basically, the Constitution, God and nature, nature's God. They can't tell you that you're not, you know, what you're doing or how to do it. So there's no, virtually, there's only few papers to file to get into this. And really, they have no, they get no control over you. Like with a 501(c), they get control, and this is how they're able to tell the churches what to say and what not to say, because they hold them hostage. And they say, oh, well, we'll declare your tax exemption a fraud, and we'll pull it, and then you'll owe us all those back taxes. This eliminates all that baloney. Because
I think we could take it even a step further, because we don't have to really get anything with the people. We pay the taxes. We paid for all those buildings. We paid for everything. We don't need anything special. And I think you could beat that in court. No, maybe not today, but in a court of justice.
Well, this is a shortcut because yes, you're right.
But right now, yes, it might be. But I would drop it as soon as we get over to the other side, meaning being we got courts of record. I would start pulling away from that and withdrawing papers and whatever else, because we don't have to answer to the people, to these government agents. Look, they have to answer to us. That's the point. And this is the attitude, people. We have to be free and independent. We are the boss. They're not the boss. They seem to think that they are to, you know, rule over us somehow. No. We rule over them. We've written a prescription. We've written which is the Constitution. Ultimately, it's the law, and this is how they're to operate. And this is what you can do. And these are the things you can't do, and these are things they can't do. So, but you know, you could do that if it helps you to get a place temporarily and to go through. But
what I'm saying is, I wouldn't be scared to do it, like you said. Because basically what this 580 is or whatever it is, it says to them that they have no right to question anything you do. Mm-hmm. Basically.
Well, that's very helpful then. You know, maybe, matter of fact, why don't you give it
an automatic exemption that they had to give. It's an automatic exemption. So you fill out a couple of papers and you say, I'm under that. I'm not a corporation. I'm not anything that you should have control over.
Send me some information on that. Maybe I can rewrite it in a way that and lay it out and be able to offer it to the people.
Well, I got
to
get back with him. I've been very busy and I kind of dropped the ball.
As soon as you get that info, maybe get me into that meeting with that person too. Maybe I can learn and we'll get this information and get it out.
He sent me documentation, which I haven't even been able to go through yet.
Mm-hmm.
He says the SSM is not that hard to set up. It is similar to a trust, but much easier to set up and operate. But I really need to look into it more. I just felt I should open my mouth for her, seeing that she's already got 30
people. Well, that's the other thing. Okay,
she has the potential to grow really fast. So
we may be able to combine this with we're getting some feedback. So for anybody who's not talking, maybe just mute your mic. We may be able to fuse that together with a common law trust. NLA is set up as a common law trust. Okay, I've done nothing government wise. I had no code wise. Nothing. It's a common law trust. Period. Pure, and that's it. Just a pure trust. And so maybe we can put something together for people who might want, because they're having problems. Like in places like California would be places where you would get problems, and places down in New York City you'd get problems, and even in the lower counties of New York you get problems. Most of the upper counties are much looser than that. I've never had a problem trying to get to go in and use the hall. We've used the hall on a few occasions, especially when we were bringing the grand jury to the people and doing different counties. We've used the libraries, and generally we really, I don't ever recall having a problem not getting a library either. I mean, we didn't have problems with that either.
Yeah. So now it's a liability. Yeah. They're saying that you need to get liability insurance, and then when we went to look into about liability, they say, well, you know, what kind of group are you? And we just said, we're a community group, and then they put us under.
Community watch group. You should tell them. You know.
Community watch group. Okay.
I'll tell you what you do. You know, look. It sounds like you're very close to having all your paperwork together. I think you said you had your paperwork together.
We said, yeah, we're sending it in. We got out all the stuff, and then we're going to send it in so we can get a seal and all that.
You have your resolution done and work through all the paperwork that we put together for you? Let me get over
to I get that off the the website. So we're trying to
Look, if you get a charter, okay, work out your charter, work out your resolutions, okay, get your seal, bring it all together, you go down to Staples or Office Max or what place you want to go, unless you have someone who could bind it for you. I mean, I got my own binding machine myself. But you have it made up like a nice booklet, bound on the left side with your seal on it. And when people want to know who you are, you know, you give it. If you're having problems trying to use the town hall, for instance, then go to the next town meeting and bring your paperwork with you and serve that on to them. And say, listen, this is who we are. We want to meet here, and this is the people's house. Is there a problem here because we're being refused access? You could do the same thing with the library. I'm not sure. I never thought of it.
Actually, I don't think it's going to – I think we would outgrow it, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Well, again, the Rod and Gun Club is a good place to go. They may charge you in the beginning because they do rent out their room to people for usage, and I've used them and paid them. But if you can get their membership to come, okay, you say, look, you know, we want to have this event. This is what we're doing. This is who we are. And especially if you already have your paperwork together, that's really good because then you can give that to them. And that shows them who you are, and it should become interesting to them. Say, hey, look, we'd like to introduce this to all of the people here that's members to the Rod and Gun Club. So we'd like to, not only invite other people but anybody to come. Once you get your first meeting there or so, it may very well be you can ask them then, can this Rod and Gun Club sponsor us for our meetings for the purpose of taking back our government, having government by consent? Okay. You know, and that's a great group to approach for that.
Okay, I'll do that.
There's other groups that you could do the same thing, that's community-oriented and focused and have a room. You know, they already have a building or something.
We're working on that. And then the other thing that I wanted to make sure I don't go down, get distracted. There's some other factions in our county of these groups that are called the County Jural Assembly.
Okay.
Is that something that we need to talk to these people?
That has nothing to do with the common law in us. So those systems need to be shut down. They're run by the government.
Oh, well, these are apparently they're supposed to be, patriots or people that are trying to get grand juries.
The one that recommends these Jural societies is Annabon Ritz, okay? She's not the only one, but she's the name that I can say that uses them that you would know, basically what they're about. It doesn't sound like a bad idea, but the trouble is I don't want to go bashing anybody else in public here, but they go down some paths that I consider dangerous.
Well, here's the bottom line in the whole thing. Okay, we put a structure together that is absolutely lawful. We put a structure together that actually came from our founding fathers and the history of common law. We could be creative in many ways, and from time to time in different things we do, we are, and we will be, because we're free and independent. We could do what we want. As long as it's right and just, if it makes sense and it's just, you can do it. It's that simple. That's the ruler you lay upon it. Now, if you share with them and you get together, have a meeting with them, get together with the leadership, your leadership and their leadership, get together and say, hey, we want to find out who you people are because we're doing something too, and maybe we could work together. But the bottom line is this, they have to conform to us. We cannot conform to them. We don't want to give up anything that we're doing from our perspective and give it up to, do something else that may be, to them, lawful. But to us, it's not common law lawful.
They're trying to find 20 more members to be on this assembly. And I'm like, they're coming at us because they know about our group.
Yeah, but remember this. They're a Jural group. They are not They're not a committee of safety. They're not committeemen. So it's not what we're doing in the sense. Now, we're doing the administrators for the jury, okay? And that's four to five people. We've been doing four people, but ultimately we need that fifth wheel because we need a paralegal, number one, and then we need that extra person to fill in as an administrator when it's necessary. And so it's four or five people. It's five. I'm going to start talking about five people. You know, four, all five administrators. One has to be a paralegal. And now we're going to be getting a seat in the courthouse in every state court. Every county has a state court, and that's where they have to work. But they will be under subjection to a degree. They'll be under subjection of the Committee of Safety. The Committee of Safety really doesn't get involved with what their work is doing or try to tell them what to do or what not to do. That's not their job. But the job of the Committee of Safety is to deal with any problems that may erupt between the four or five individuals. And if an individual is not being honorable and just, and the other three or four tell that person, hey, you got to conform, you got to stop that, and they refuse to stop doing whatever it is they're doing that the other four believe that is wrong, well, then they would take that to the Committee of Safety, to the subcommittee, which would be the Judiciary Committee, and that subcommittee would have a relationship with the administrators, but they would hear the case and they would make the decision and maybe fire the person. That's really the only involvement that they would have directly with the jury administrators. Other than that, they would have no authority over them because those people have to be free and independent thinkers. But we would imagine that five people working together to take an oath, to operate with a sense of honor, justice, and mercy. They go through our courses. They get certified. They get a handbook on operations, how things work, and what they can do and what they can't do. And if there's something comes up that's new, they can come to us, and we can kind of add that into the book. But the bottom line is that they operate on their own, free and independent, just like the Committee of Safety operates, free and independent. But when they have a problem and they have to get rid of somebody, then it can go to or try to get this person back in order, because that's a possibility too. They then can go to the Committee of Safety, and someone has to have the ability to get rid of a problem. So that's why I think the Committee of Safety would be the ideal place. They would be the final arbitrators of getting rid of somebody. But as far as this group is concerned, it sounds like they've created their own jury of people. Is that what it is? And they're acting like a jury?
Yeah, it's kind of like they need 30 members to be on this assembly to where they can have this grand jury. Then they can, I don't know, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that is not common law. No.
Yeah, it doesn't. It sounds like their system, the corporation system, and the way they do things, I guess.
I heard about this in California, and it's ringing a bell now that you mentioned California, and you may be in the county that I've seen I've seen something on TV about this some years back, where these group of people have come together, and they've been a grand jury for years, and the foreman has been the same foreman for years. And when I was watching it, I get sick to my stomach because it was so appalling. It was as bad as anything else that's out there. There's also
really?
A guy down in Florida doing the same thing. He's a lawyer. He's a bar attorney. And he brought together and made a grand jury. And they seem to be sitting forever and making decisions. That's not the way it works. No. A grand jury.
It's just ignorant. They're just ignorant to what, you know, just having knowledge and of the Constitution. And just
exactly. You know, you get a lot of people that make things up. You know, people that come with a lot of error, and then they, you know, they may have a little knowledge. You know how they say a little knowledge is very dangerous, you know? You know, they get a little knowledge, and then they start doing things, and they don't do the research to make sure it's right.
Can I just read their quick little mission?
Oh, yeah, please. I'd like to hear it. Yeah.
Okay, it says, we the people claiming our God-given rights based in Christian principles intend to return and maintain the governance of Solano County's settlement to the status proclaimed by the Magna Carta, the Declaration of Independence, the original organic constitution dated 1787, and they got that one right, and amended 1791, and the California Constitution, 1849. These God-given rights are for all people, realizing the only limitation which affects a God-given right is where there is a conflict between the rights of claimed by two or more sovereign people. That's it.
Well, You know, they got some good things in there, but the bottom line is the way they're operating is not lawful and it's not right. And but I wouldn't worry. Look, I would not worry about that group at all, because what you're doing is not really connected directly to them. Indirectly, you are, because we will be installing, actually not that we're installing, but we'll be certifying for the installation of individuals to take on the jobs within that county or any other county. Someone has to be responsible to make sure that these people are qualified. And National Liberty Alliance, since we brought this all together, we're willing to take on that responsibility to lay out the necessary courses for them to take, and also a handbook for operations purposes so that they can know what to do in certain situations, make sure they have a paralegal working with them. And then, of course, we're here for any questions or anything, and if we don't have the answers, we'll find them. But the thing is that we're going to qualify people. We're pushing for five people in every single courthouse, you know, not every courthouse, but every in New York we call them Supreme Courts. Other courts, the other states, they call them different things, but it's the state court, if you want to call it that. And there's a state court in every county. That's the courthouse you sit in. That's the place where criminal charges would be brought in that particular court. Now, okay. They bring them up in county courts, too, but there should not be any criminal. You know, county courts, I don't believe, even though they call them courts of court of record. I know in our Constitution, county courts are courts of record, so they can hear cases. But I don't understand how that could be, and I got to do some research on that because... they say, well, they can only hear certain cases on a certain level, and they seem to be running them by judges, and a lot of state courts are running by judges as much as they can also. You can't have a judge make a decision on a criminal case. You have to have a tribunal of the people, and the only place that I can see that should happen is in the state court.
The last thing I wanted to mention is the original Constitution. It seems to, can you find it anywhere?
I've been hearing this for as long as I've been doing this, and I've challenged all the people who've come to me. I said, well, go get me a copy because I need to see it. What they're talking about ultimately is the Constitution as it was written earlier, and it sat for a little while, 2 years as a matter of fact, before it came into effect because of the Anti-Federalist, I presume, is the main reason why that happened. And then they came to an agreement to add the Bill of Rights, and then it was finalized in 1789. So 1789 is when it was finalized. But there is no difference between the two. Someone had delivered to me and said, this is it. And I looked, it was word for word, exactly the same thing. There was no difference. So I don't know what they're talking about.
These pocket ones you see, around, they're not,
All the pocket ones I've seen say the same thing.
They're not.
We get ours from NCCS. Let me take a look. I got one right here. Okay. And it comes from NCCS. And that is the National Center for Constitutional Studies. So you can go to nccs.net, and they're very cheap. They're like 30, 40 cents a piece, And so you can buy, I think they sell them by 50s or 100 or whatever it is, And it's a good Constitution. And I've seen others. And I've looked at the difference between them, and I haven't seen any difference. There is a debate or an argument, and I don't think it's necessary. This is the Constitution of the United States, or the Constitution.
Right.
People think it should say Constitution for the United States. But you know what? It depends on your perspective. It's the Constitution made by the United States, we the people, ultimately. Okay? And so you can look at it from that perspective, or the Constitution for the United States, meaning as the Union, the United States as the Union. But I don't see the big deal with that. As far as the wording or the rest of it... it's been pretty, I haven't seen any differences between one to another that these people have written. Many okay. different people have written. I think I put one up myself, and it's up on Amazon, and I added a lot of other things in it, but, pretty sure
All
I...
Right.
I remember writing
well,
it.
Well, people are questioning it, because they you hear that it's not, that they changed some language, the all caps, corporate, right?
Yeah, I'm not aware of any. I've challenged people who come to make the correction to me, and I'm open for correction.
I mean, you got to have the original one, right, or a copy of the original one, and that's kind of probably hard to come by.
Well, no, you can go online and get a copy of the original one. The original one's there. This is a copy of the original one. The one I got is, of course, says it's certified, and it's no different than the one that's in Washington, D.C. Okay, but the thing is this is the Constitution. There's no doubt about it. At least the one I have. But I have challenged people who have told me that, you're looking at the wrong one. You got to look at the one from the 1887, I think they were talking about it, if I recall, 87. And they said, you got the one that was finally went through that was the wrong one, and that's 1789. And again, I've challenged them, and they never can produce the other one that they're talking about. So I don't know what they're talking about.
You guys have the booklets? Do you guys have the Constitution booklets on your site?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You can get the Constitution is on our site, period, also, just in a PDF form. And I know I put together a handbook. Matter of fact, I may have it for free up there. I don't see why I wouldn't. Let's see. No, well, you know what? I think I recently did it. I'll put it up here for free if I do have it. I'm pretty sure I do have one that's up for sale in a handbook form, color and all that stuff.
All right. I'll let my members know because I know they're asking, and we're just wanted to ask you that, and then hoping, I know you guys are working on getting a bundle or trying to get a bundle price because, we have things put in people's hands, like we got quite a few of us that got the government by consent,
mm-hmm.
Got that book, and so a lot of people, but some of them are pricey as you know, but we want to get bulk, the bulk rates on your pocket, the different pocketbooks and the.
Well, unfortunately, I don't have them in bulk right now. I can try to set that up, but I just don't have. I'd have to make a big investment. I mean, we did this once before, and we were able to sell them. Goodness, I think we were selling them for 60 cents a piece or 55 cents a piece. Yeah, I think it was 60 cents a piece. You had to buy 100 of them. So for $60, was it $60?
Well, it's just that we're going to have, we have a one of the biggest churches in our county. They have like 10,000, maybe more members. And they just, one of our group members.
Well, if they wanted to do that, and I could
watch. There's a lot of people that want one. Here's the
problem. When I did it before, I had to come up with a lot of money, thousands of dollars, because I had to buy like 100,000 or something, like 250,000 in order to get them down that cheap. Okay.
Okay.
So you have to do high volume printing, and so I could do that, but I have to have a big order. And eventually, some point, I will do that because we're going to eventually be feeding a lot of these books, especially the jurist handbooks, whether it be the grand jurist or the petit jurist handbooks. We'd like to get them in a pocket handbook type, and be handed out to all the jurists. But you can get all this stuff for free, because we have this for free also on our page.
You let us print out. We're going through the handbook every meeting. We meet every week. Mm-hmm. And we're going over the handbook every five pages. We're going over it, making sure everybody understands it with mm-hmm. the presentation. So we're going it step by step, so we all are clear on what's going on. And Robert's Rules, and we're going to be doing that soon. So anyways, well, thank you for your
All right, and I'm going to put, if you go up where the handbook's at, I'll try to remember to do that this week. I'll make a note of it, because I don't see it up here right now. And I'm going to put a copy of the Constitution up there also. It could be downloaded in PDF form. So,
you're confident that it's the same. It's the same. There's no changes. And
I have never seen any but one. I've never seen a copy of the Constitution that says anything different than the one that I've got. Never, anyways.
Yeah. And you've been doing it for a long time, so.
20 years. Well, actually, I haven't been into the Constitution for 20 years. I've been involved for 20 years, but my research started probably back. It started on the political realms, I think, back in 2008, but then we moved into the judicial back in the end of 2012, maybe the beginning of 2013, because I know by January 2013, we would then became National Liberty Alliance, and we were focusing in to some degree on the common law and everything, And then eventually, you know, we came to a real good understanding around that time of the jury and the power of the jury. So we kind of pulled it all together, and we found out about committees of safety. And, you know, we just kept building and building all our knowledge and understanding until we developed a plan.
Well, great. We're excited. We're really excited, and we want to grow real fast, and we want to, you know, we got to be careful. You know, there's infiltrators that, we have to be mindful of.
You'll get the crazies, too, believe me.
Hey, can I get her name? What's her name? I'm sorry. I didn't get your name.
Jennifer.
Okay. Yeah. And you're from California?
Yeah, I'm from California. We're right in between Sacramento County and Sonoma County.
Yeah, if you want to call her, her phone number's up there, Gerard. You could see it.
Yeah, I might have information. Is it okay if I give you a ring or text you or something?
Sure.
I don't know if the phone will receive text.
That's fine. Yeah, it's a cell phone.
Okay,
that'd be
very
great.
Good.
Thank you.
You know, try to get your members to do as much education as you can, because we really
That's
need to
doing.
Do things appropriately.
That's what we're doing. We're doing step by step the way you suggest it. So we're using you guys as our umbrella, our resource, our mentors, and so we're want to do it right. So
we all appreciate what you're doing, and everybody should appreciate what you're doing, because we all should be doing the same thing, because this is the only way we take a nation back.
I know. All right, thank you.
All right, Jennifer, thank you. Oh, by the way, Jennifer, is your name up there as a contact on NLA?
I became a member.
If you go up to the directory, are you coming in on the phone, or are you coming in on the phone?
I'm on the phone. I'm at my desktop, so I can look it up real quick.
If you go under the directory and click on directory, then you come to your state. You come down and you see your state. Let's see. Well, before you see state, I think it's on this page first. Let me think. Register, edit your. Okay. Read this page through, okay? And it'll tell you how you can put your name up there and be a contact in your county. Let me go over to California. Hang on a minute. What county did you say you were in again?
Solano.
Can you spell that?
Yeah, it's S as in Sam, O, L as in Larry, A, N as in Nancy, and then O.
Okay, it looks like you're already up here, Jennifer.
Oh, wow.
You got your name. Let me double-check your phone number there. 2-3 Yeah, you got your name up here, so you're a contact. And there's another one, Debbie. Do you know Debbie?
Debbie, no. Debbie, what's the last name?
I don't have last names. She's from the same county. Let me give you her phone number. You want to contact her?
Yeah, please.
Yeah. I'll give you a phone number, because she put it up here, so I can tell you what it is, because people can look it up themselves. It's 916
738-5626. 5626 is Debbie?
Debbie. Let me repeat that. 916-738- 5626 Debbie.
Wow. Okay, because 916 is a Sacramento number, so all right.
All right, well, give her a call, and you know, she may already have a bunch of people too, and now you got a bigger force.
Geez.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of great. All right, thank you so much. Awesome.
Well, thank you. And again, someone will get back to you soon, I hope. And Jan, if you can make a note of that, if there's a problem, maybe you can help her.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Jan.
All right. Good night.
Good night. All right. By the way, did Brent come in? Has anyone seen Brent? I don't see him in here. So, Gerard, are you ready to take the controls here? I'll take the next call while I'm waiting for that. Okay, our next caller is from Florida. How you doing? Yeah, how you doing?
I am doing it. I want to ask you, a few months ago, I asked you about common law trust. I heard y'all bring it up, and I know you've been busy with paper and all that, because I mentioned that I want to switch my nonprofit youth organization away from the 501c3 as soon as possible.
Okay. I'm looking to see if I put it up here. I might have put it up here already. I have a instructions on a common law trust, and I can I may have already done this. I may have written one up sort of generic so that people can kind of just fill in the information.
Yes.
I'm looking here right now to see if I did do that and if I put it up.
And where are we filing this?
What was that?
Where are we filing this?
Where do you file it?
Yeah.
I didn't file it anywhere. I took it. I used it to open a bank account, and I didn't file. Maybe I no. I don't think I did. Let me think about this. I do not think I'll have to look in to see if I did. I don't think I filed it anywhere because it's no one's business. But I created one, and then I went to open up a bank account with it, and I got a bank account open, and I got a number from the VIN number, because you can't get a bank account without that. So I got a VIN number.
Yeah, huh? I already have a tax number because of the original.
Yeah, but it's got to have the right name on it, though, and it's got to have trust in the case of the trust. And then that's it. But remember, trusts, as far as the beneficiary is concerned, is secret. You could use the trust and have it out there for business purposes or whatever, but whoever the beneficiary is, it's not anyone's business.
And that's right.
So
where can I find it?
Well, it should be under under education, coming down to law, and then over court forms and process. But I'm not seeing it there. I'll have to take a look and try to get it up there because I know I put something together on it. And I do have a sort of a booklet form on it, creating a common law trust. So let me make a note of that.
Okay, next question. Do you know anything about common law copyright?
No, but when Brent's on, you can ask him. I don't know about the copyright side of it, how it works or anything.
All right.
I heard there's lots of ways to copyright things, but I don't know enough about it to give anyone advice on it.
I mean, I know about the usual way. I mean, because I own one, but my husband's interested in the common law copyright. Mm-hmm. All right, for works he's written.
But you might want to ask Brent on it. Brent is a little statutorial, though. He's still kind of he operates under statutes also. All lawyers do. He's not a bar attorney. So he's not a bar attorney, and he wrote a great book on common law and so on. But he still has a few little things that I would disagree with, and that's okay. You know, I don't know anybody that agrees with everything I say. And so we're going to have disagreements, and that's fine. But the thing, as long as the core values and the core structures of whatever we're doing, we have to agree on those. And with Brent, we absolutely do agree on the core. But I do know that he has concerns. He learned some things about trusts and talked about common law trusts. And to me, it's some of the things he might talk about is too statutory for me. I don't ask nobody for permission to do anything. And it's none of the business I'm doing except for the people I want to make it their business. And that's how I deal with everything. And that's the mindset that I have been given by my knowledge of studying common law.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I don't want anything to do with anything that's statutory. Anything, nothing.
Well, remember, we do use statutes to control them, though. Remember that.
Oh, well, yeah, of course, yeah. I do, and I use them.
Absolutely.
I do use them. I turn around and do use them on them. But, I mean, I don't want anything to do with that for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my organization.
Right.
Is what I'm saying, which is the people. You know, well, it's, you know, it's youngsters, but it's still people. You know, the people. You know, mm-hmm. The parents are involved, too. So that's mm-hmm. what I'm saying. All right. Well, next thing. You know, I heard you all talking about these public entities that charge. You know, that's a serious thing going on. Even in Connecticut, they charge. They have maybe about 100 weddings a day at Elizabeth Park. Because remember, I'm from Connecticut, and they charge, and they make you have to get a permit and all that stuff. Even in Florida, they charge the public park. Your city makes you pay. They have to use the park, you know, which is not, you know, it's public.
That's a crime. These are all crimes. And they need to be, they need to be called out on it. You know, unfortunately, we can't do much in the courts right now, but it's something that has to be on our agenda. And I will write something up and put something together so that people can use that and go and deal with these things.
They charge to use the community centers in the park quite a bit. I know there's a center in Pompano that charges you to use their what's it called, the Coliseum, you know, and then they said they have the right to cancel your event if someone they think is more important than you coming.
Well, you know, the key thing is to find out the board or group, it would be a board, I would presume, that made this decision. So wherever you get, and if you're trying to use a park or something, then you're going through the process, well, you got to go get a permit here. And I understand getting a permit, you know. You get a permit, you got to make sure that, you know, first of all, that someone else hasn't already using the park that day. You know, you get 2-3 groups coming to use the park, the same park at the same time, it's a problem. So getting a permit is not a problem. I understand that. Also, they want to alert the police so that maybe there'll be some police force around, depending on how large the crowd would be or anything. And there may be certain requirements that have to be taken care of, you know, accommodations and that kind of thing that people have to be responsible for, but they should be able to set that up in the park itself. So those accommodations appreciate it and figure it out. So there's nothing, in my opinion, there's nothing wrong with getting a permit, but if they charge you for that, that in my opinion becomes a crime. We already paid for that, okay?
We charge use it for cookouts, you know, to reserve one of the gazebos, you know, one of the shelters.
Reserving it is one thing, charging for it is another.
There's places in Long Island parks that you don't get into unless you are a resident and you have a sticker, and I think that's perfectly legal.
Yeah, that's true. I could agree with that.
Just because the community's taxes are paying for it, you come from upstate New York, go down to Long Island, you want to go on their beaches, they got some say in that. So,
I would agree with that too. Yeah.
Yeah, because otherwise you can have one town flood the other town's park and they don't contribute anything, you know. But they're using the resources. So depending on how the town has it set up, I know in my town, if you live in the town and you go to a board meeting and ask to use it, they'll give it to you, and they don't charge you, you know, as long as
they're going to tell you. You must get your marriage license first from them, and then you must get a permit to use the Elizabeth Park. And, you know, they're quite restricting, and they do charge.
Well, no, you see, they're maintaining a park, and they're maintaining it with the local people's tax dollars. When they tax you for something, like they can't tax you for water unless you're in a water district. That's a very specific tax by district. Mm-hmm. And what happens is the parks kind of skirt that. You know, they're like in between the two. Now, it belongs to the people of the town. That's who's paying for it. But you living in another town, do you really have a right to be there on that taxpayer's money?
No, I'm saying no. When I actually lived, I'm from Connecticut. And when I lived in Florida, they charged the residents. You know, just like they charge to use
the I'm sure they do it. I'm sure they do whatever they can get away with. That's what's happening. Yeah,
I remember I lived in Clinton Corners here in New York, and they had a nice pool, okay, really nice pool. It was almost like a lake pool, you know, it was like a lake, but it was really nice. And I used to go there, I used to take the family there, and it was free, you know. I had to go, you know, I was a resident of the town, so I got a ticket. It was a full, you know, for the whole summer. I didn't pay nothing for it. But people who came from out of town, they did have to pay to get it, to use that pool.
They charge the residents. They say the only difference is the residents have to pay, let's say, a discount, a $2 fee, versus a non-resident, let's say, of that city. Like, if you don't live in that city, they don't care if you live in the state.
I think we all agree on this, that if you're a resident, it's free. If you're not a resident of that town, then you have to, then there would be a nominal fee. Gerard, are you about ready to take over, by the way, to the controls?
Yeah, they're still.
Okay. Huh? Go ahead, Andromina.
They charge the residents, though. They still charge a fee. The other thing they did, you know, I'm sure you know, anyone who went into the parks during this COVID thing when it was, you know, enforced, no one was allowed into the public parks. You know, they felt like they owned them.
Now you're putting my blood pressure up. Please, I don't want to hear about it no more. It's so sickening what they have done. You know, people, the best place to have been during COVID, if there was a real COVID problem, the best place to be is at the beach, anywhere in the sun, to the parks. That's the place to be because you're not going to get sick.
They tell people they're not allowed in a public park, but they did.
I know.
The sheriffs, as you know, who are ignorant to law, were the main ones, as well as the municipal cops, would arrest you.
Well, look, it's going to be up to the committees of safety to fix this, and we will fix it.
Anybody that got arrested during COVID for being in the park because they said that they were not allowed to be there, turns out it wasn't really a law, and there's a lawsuit there if they want it.
That's right.
Some people went back and sued their butts, and they won. Because they had the legislator didn't make it into law, and that's what that case with the Supreme Court was that everybody missed. And they said, no, you're an ABC agency. You have no authority to enforce any of your rules. You're a ministry.
Mm-hmm.
They said it didn't go through the Senate and the Congress, so therefore it's not a law. That's the answer all of that stuff.
I know. Oh, I know. I'm fully aware. But
you gotta learn how to talk like an attorney a little bit to scare them. But they're stupid. You know,
they
can force you to take an injection that's experimental. No, you cannot. It's been well established in Nuremberg is that, but they did it anyway, didn't they? But they're liable. Okay.
Yeah. Right, do we have another question or comment? Because I think we killed the subject.
Yeah.
last comment, just like they're arresting people for walking public streets and not wearing a mask. Same thing.
That was pretty sad. That was in California, I think, wasn't it? Was it down Florida too?
Yes.
Wow. I know up here, upstate New York, they didn't do anything like that, but thank God. But I heard maybe in the city they might have. I don't know. I heard of places that are doing
DeSantis passed that, and the police obeyed it, along with the sheriffs, who thinks that they can make law, and the police obeyed it.
Yeah.
And
I don't even want to hear about masks no more. I think I'm all masked out. We've been talking masks for God knows how long, and a couple of years now. And
there's a new one coming. Don't be such a killjoy.
Oh.
Well, anyway, as soon as possible, I need to find out about the common law trust, and if you find out anything
I made a note, and I'll try to get it up there soon. You know, I still have a lot of work to do, but I think I have all. If that work is already done, which I think it is, I can just post it up. I'll go up pretty quickly. But if it's not completed and I don't feel comfortable with it the way it's put together, because it has to be digestible to the person who doesn't know anything about it, then I'll work on that and then get it up there. And that might take a couple of weeks. But I'm going to go look for it. I got a note on my desk now. So.
Okay, you're off my board.
How long did you say that the Supreme Court has to handle this mandamus?
Well, look, this is an emergency. They should be handling it right away. But I have to think. I'll have to think about that and maybe discuss it with some of the people on how long it might take. I might even get to the point where I'll call up the military to speak to these two generals to find out what's going on. Huh?
What? I don't remember seeing a deadline in the writing, which normally I know you.
I did not put a deadline in the writing. I got to give them a little bit of time, number one. And if it goes a certain period of time, if it goes 30 days, then for sure I'm going to call up the military to find out what they're going to do about this. They've been notified and what's going on. And they may say, well, look, it just back off for a while because there are other things. And I said, well, then we know we just got to back off and wait. But I don't see a reason why we would have to back off and wait because, again, if we get this through the court, And courts of record are opened again, and we have the ability to and a process to apply it to those judges who who haven't got the memo or don't want to obey the law, we have a process now how to deal with that. And even though that happens, the general public, the people, the news, they wouldn't even know about it. They have no idea because they don't even understand what's going on in the courts to begin with. Right. They wouldn't have a clue. Only those people who have read the paper and took it seriously and literally educated themselves to understand what that paper is saying, and it's a powerful paper in my opinion. Every memorandum is just so powerful and drawing in my opinion, and it's an education, it's a liberation, it liberates you, it empowers you. And it gives you the proper mindset to be free and independent, to say, hey, wait a second, the government can't tell me nothing. They can't prevent me from doing anything.
Yeah, especially with the family court. I think you should have filed that on as thick as possible, as brutal as they are. Well, allow me to give you a caution. I don't know if you listen to me or not. I have dealt with the post office. And I don't know which way you sent this. I've actually dealt with the post office, and I've actually sent a number of things to the military. And I have to warn you, they have somewhere in the post office, they have spies.
Yeah, I'm not concerned about those people anyway. Look, we have a couple of generals that have been handpicked.
I'm just saying, when somebody goes to the military, I have a lot of experience that the post office tends to disrupt that and will tell a lie and even send it back saying, I sent a number of things to a particular base and other military that was even right in the town where I was living.
Did you send it with a green card?
Oh, no, I sent it with civil delivery. Remember, I'm a legal secretary. I know exactly how to do something professionally. I sent it with proof of delivery, and they still wasted $7 per watt for about 20 letters. How are you going to tell me that all these bases don't exist and undeliverable is addressed and something like that? I have sense enough to find out an address of a military base and why to send it and who to send it to. That's what I'm saying from experience. And I'm talking about 20
We'll see what happens because, the websites that I went to are controlled and run by these different military,
that's why I went.
We'll see what happens with that. If I have to physically take it down there, we'll get someone to take it physically down there. Look, there's ways to do this, okay? I could call the sheriff in the county. Listen. You can call the sheriff in the county where this base is at. Okay, and pay him the $50 or $40 or whatever to make the serving. So it doesn't get it one way or another.
The sheriff's, or FedEx or UPS. Just I will never ever send to myself from a lot of experience to the military ever through the post office. Mm-hmm. Not to the military ever.
All right. Well, I'll have to figure out what to do if they don't get it to it. And again, I'm looking for a signature. If a signature doesn't come back within 5 days or 7 days. And then I'll start investigating what happened to it. And that's that. But with that, we've got to move on to the next caller.
Okay? All right. I just wanted to alert you to that.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. And I don't want to talk about masks no more. Okay? I don't ever want to talk about them.
Okay.
Nothing has made me more angry than masks. Gerard, you got it.
Okay. Thank you. Next up is...
And don't hit the wrong button, because I do that from time to time myself.
Nobody's disappearing, but anyway.
Okay.
John Wiseman. that's our self-ministry guy. Hey, John, do you hear me?
Hey, brother, I can't. Can you hear me now?
Oh, I can hear you now. There you go.
All right, that sounds great. Let me get my headset. Hey, listen, somebody was talking earlier, I believe that lady out of California, she was asking as it relates to the Constitution and what version.
Yeah, that was Jennifer from California.
Okay, well, in 1947, the statutes at large is 61 stat, and it states, the addition of laws and treaties of the United States published by Little and Brown shall be competent evidence of the several public and private acts of Congress. and of the several treaties therein contained, in all the courts of law and equity, and of maritime jurisdiction, and in all tribunals and public officers of the United States and of the several states, without any further proof of authentication thereof. So the
I'm not sure I understand what that means. And tribunals, what exactly are they trying to say?
Okay, what they're trying to say is the Little and Brown's edition of laws and treaties are admissible as evidence in law. Okay, so if you go back, this is where in 61 stat, John.
But we do agree. We do agree, I think, that laws and treaties have nothing to do with the people and their cases before court. Correct.
But okay. You're allowed to show a court the evidence through 61 stat, statute at large, that the Little and Brown's edition, okay, is competent evidence in law. And so when you pull up volume one, it has the Declaration of Independence. Mm-hmm. Then after that, it has the Articles of Confederation. And then after that, it has the Constitution of the United States, which in the first paragraph, it says, "We, the people of the United States, give to the people of the United States of America the Constitution for the United States of America," something to that extent.
Yeah, but that's not part of the Constitution.
The actual Constitution is in there, John.
Yeah, but that those words are not in the Constitution. The preamble to the Constitution is the very first thing that the Constitution declares. And there is a caption, and the caption could say a couple of things. One, the one I'm looking at and most I see is Constitution of the United States. There is some out there that say for the United States, and I don't make a big thing about that because the rest of it itself helps it and cleans it out anyway, flushes out any of the problems. But the preamble is the key beginning, and it says, "We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice." It goes to 6 points, and this is the 6 point. This is the 6 purposes of government, by the way. Anything government does has to qualify to uphold one of these 6 things, these 6 points, to protect, uphold, or whatever. So it says, in order to form a more perfect union, that's 1. Establish justice, that's 2. Ensure domestic tranquility, that's 3. Provide for the common defense, that's 4. Promote the general welfare, that's 5. And secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, that's 6. And it goes on and says, and our posterity, our liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish. We're the kings. We ordained it. This has been ordained. We're the lawmakers. That's what we're saying right here. We are the lawmakers. And even though we give them the power in Article 1, Section 8, for Congress to make law, we have the power in any courtroom to nullify it. We don't like it nullified, period. And people need to understand that power and authority and why they have that power and authority, and they have to exercise that power and authority, and that's how they control their government. And so that is the beginning of the Constitution. What you read is not part of the Constitution.
Well, it's
paraphrased a little or something. Well, maybe it's an introductory thing written before the Constitution.
Correct, John. I was not reading it. I pulled it up while you were quoting there, and mm-hmm. Now I'm looking at that first, the preamble to it.
Yeah,
okay,
that's
and you did quote it verbatim. Nevertheless, going back, the only point that I'm trying to make here is 61 statute at large. It's not a court case or anything. It's
right.
Not
I
our
understand.
Statutes or codes. It is the common law. This is the law, statutes at large. And it specifies that the Little and Brown's edition of laws and treaties, admissibility in evidence. And then I basically read you subsection 113. So it's saying that it is law in all the different jurisdictions that are pretty much available out there or that they utilize against the people, maritime, admiralty, and the various venues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are quite a few different jurisdictions, and, you know, Marathon is one, like you say, and, you know, but the thing, you know, to be honest with you, and I listened to when you read it, it sounds so statutory to me. It doesn't even sound like common law, because I don't understand what it is, to be honest. That's the key point. Now, I do know that there are laws that we've given the power and the authority, of course, to the legislators to write, and... let me see here. There's something that sounded similar to that, if I can find it. But anyway, maybe you could explain it to me, because I'm not sure I understand what power that helps us with. You know, I'm not saying that you're wrong, because I don't know. Did I lose you? Oh, there you go. Lost you for a second. You back?
He's muted.
All right. Unmute him. Let me unmute him. Did someone hit end or something?
No, it's still going. I don't know what's the matter.
No, he's got his mic. Doesn't he? No,
John
he does.
Weisman, and it shows a thing across
right,
the mic.
I just unmuted him. Yeah, there we lost you somehow there, well, John. Yeah, explain to me what you can, because I don't understand it, to be honest with you. It sounds statutory, and again, you know, I don't know, I can't say one way or another.
Okay, statutory, no. It's part of the statutes at large, John, and that's all I wanted to convey. And all I can do is just send you the files. Unfortunately, I'm not able to upload it here on this call.
Okay,
so
what does it do for us, or what can we be empowered by it?
Because it states that the Leland Brown's edition, which contains the Constitution for the United States of America, it conveys to all the courts here in the United States that this is law. It is not color of law. That's what that 61
states that 61 statute at large is law, and that includes the Constitution. Is that what you're saying?
61 statute at large specifies that the Leland Brown's edition of statutes at large and all the okay, it is
that,
over.
That's what I don't understand is I don't know what Lyndon Brown's edition is. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I pulled it out of the Library of Congress, John. It's over 1,000-page document.
Well, I'm not going to read it.
But well, you don't need to read it, sir. But the bottom line is it does have the Declaration of Independence, the Articles of Confederation, and the Constitution for the United States of America, and 61 statute at large deems that as being law versus color of law.
Oh, they're certifying Little and John's.
Right. I think I got what he's saying now.
That's law in there, and they're just using Little and John's as a certified book. What do you call it?
I understand, and I think I see what you're saying, but I would really just go back to the purity of things, you know, and I would read what the law is right out of the Constitution itself, because it tells you very clearly in. Let's see, there's Article 4, I think it is. Let me get to it. Article 3, the jurisdiction. Okay, Article 3, Section 2, says the judicial power shall extend to all cases in law and equity arising under this Constitution, laws of the United States, and the treaties, and so on, which is pretty much what you had read out, some of that. But the bottom line is that this is the law of the land. And that's the key, and this is Article 6, which would be Clause 2. This Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made pursuant thereof, and all treaties made or which shall be made under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land. And the judges in every state shall be bound thereby. Anything in the Constitution or laws of the state to the contrary, notwithstanding. Now, I could appreciate what you're saying, because it's something else you can add into a court case. If you're ready to really, you know, you'd have to read through a lot of that and at least get the basic understanding and be able to articulate it in the court and make that point or put it on your paperwork. But I do think that this is sufficient enough for simple people like us, because as Jefferson said, it needs to be simple. It needs to be in simple, plain language. And now that's written for people who are, you know, lawyers ultimately and judges, and that have studied the statutes. And so for them, maybe they need that kind of instruction. But anyway, these 2 points in the Constitution for us, I think, is sufficient. I don't know if you can add anything to that and explain a little more on what that's about.
Well, no, just other than the 61 stat in 1947 verifies, it creates the validity of the Constitution being law. So when you face a judge and he laughs it off, we don't need that in here. Of course, they're an administrative court and they don't tell us this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and they're operating under color of law. Well, this would be telling them that this is law, and then you hop over to the Constitution.
Yeah, but they know anyway.
Sure.
Yeah. So no matter what you tell them, the thing is they don't want to deal with it in their courtroom, and they want to maintain the status quo because that's their job. And they're not there for the people. They're there for the big corporations, and they do have a gun to their head. If they're not going to go along with them, they'll go along with them by force. And that's the way it is, and it's unfortunate. And we do have to have an appreciation of that to some degree also. I mean, you know, if I was a judge, I'd have to resign. I just couldn't do it. A lot of these things, these people, I don't know how they sleep at night. Maybe they don't think enough about it.
Well, they found a way to justify it, I feel sure, because I've spent so much money and so many years in that industry, and they don't want to lose it, of course. And so,
well, the money is what the biggest problem is, because they get used to making all this money and all this extra cash here and there, time to time, and they don't want to give that up. So that has a big play in it.
It is, and to segue over to what she said about these city municipalities wanting to charge to use their buildings and things of that nature, and it's basically because they're all actually for-profit corporations. They're not the government.
Yeah, they have been incorporated. You're right.
Yeah, they've all been incorporated.
I think, Gerard, you were telling me there's a couple of counties in New York that never incorporated, didn't you?
Well, that was way back when. I don't know if there's still anybody survives that or not.
There was
a town called Argyle that never incorporated, and I think they were kind of a last holdout. I haven't checked to see if they did incorporate. Now, there was one that wanted to give up their incorporation. There was one.
Well, that's something. If we have to, we're going to take that into the courts. Once we win the courts back, we're going to shut them all down. The very first thing we're going to do, as soon as we win this court of record and get it back into the courts, the very first case we're going to be taking up is the sheriff's case. And I know in Connecticut, Pennsylvania has a problem. Connecticut has a major problem. New York has 7 counties with problems. And various other places. You have Hawaii has a problem, Alaska has a problem, and I'm sure there's a few other states that have problems, and this is, we're going to deal with it all the way around across this entire nation, and we've got to get our sheriffs back everywhere. And then, you know, winning a court case like this, okay, we can then do something, because we've been trying to communicate with sheriffs for a very long time. The problem is they don't understand what we're talking about. We used to have fax machines running 24/7, 10 fax machines running 24/7, sending information to various government agents, and we were on a regular basis sending papers to the sheriffs. But I think they saw us because they didn't understand what we're doing. I presumed a lot of them, and they would go talk to the attorneys, the county attorneys, and the county attorneys. Oh, these were crazy people. You know, one of these sovereign citizens groups, they're dangerous, blah, 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 blah. So we've been kind of ignored by the sheriffs to some degree. But some of them are coming around, you know, the ones that get in our book, the ones that the people are building committees of safety and approaching them, you know, they're coming around or will be coming around. And but we do have to make contact with these sheriffs to get them educated. They need a proper education because they have none at all. I mean, there's an exception to every rule, of course. You know, we have Sheriff Darr out there, and he's training his deputies, and he's the most constitutional sheriff I've ever met, far greater than Sheriff. Oh goodness, what's his name?
Sheriff Mack.
Far more constitutional than Sheriff Mack. You know, Sheriff Mack's a good guy in many ways. One of the problems with Sheriff Mack, though, is that he doesn't see the people's power as we see it, and that's a problem. He needs to wake up to that one.
Right. Well, I will yield. I just wanted to help out just a little.
I appreciate that.
61 stat. Unless anybody has any questions, so I'll step down. Thank you.
Okay. Gerard?
Yeah.
You got it. I'm going to have to leave in a few minutes, so.
Okay. And as far as the sheriffs go, they don't really have a choice. They got a cow to the Constitution, and that's what they're supposed to do. They're the highest law enforcement official because they're elected by we the people. So they better be doing our will. You know, they better be upholding the Constitution. That's what I should say.
Yeah, I think we have to find a way to kind of force their obedience somehow.
Absolutely.
The problem is it's not we're just trying to force one sheriff to be obedient. We're talking about 3,000 plus sheriffs. You know, we have 3,134 counties, and some of those counties are in wilderness. So, you know, but you know, maybe they still have a sheriff there too. Anyway, I don't know, but we got over 3,000 sheriffs. So now we have to address, how do we address 3,000 sheriffs? How do we require that they go and get a proper education in the common law? And this is what we have to figure out. And they need to understand their powers and authorities, and we got to get, and then we can find, and it's up to the people locally to find out if the sheriff is a crook or not, because there are crooked sheriffs out there, and they need to be removed out of office.
Well, you got to go through their sheriff's associations. It's probably the easiest way, because then it goes through all of them. You know what I mean?
Is there a national sheriff's association?
Yes, there is, absolutely. And Sheriff Darr was invited to talk with them. And I also wanted to say is that there are more constitutional sheriffs out there than you might imagine.
We need to go talk to them.
So what's happening is, well, they got they're kind of like, I think they're subdued a little bit. Some of them are. Some of them are very outspoken.
Yeah, but the people want to talk with them. I think we need to talk with them.
We should have some of them here, right here in New York State, John. Over towards Western New York and that. We've got some very good sheriffs.
Oh, no, absolutely we got great sheriffs. Look at, when I was talking with our sheriff, he passed away a couple, you know, about six
years. Oh, yeah, he was a great guy.
And he was saying that... all the sheriffs came together. There was only two sheriffs that backed out to tell the state to go to hell. We're not giving up the guns information to the state police. We have control of that, and we're keeping it. And there was nothing that the governor could do about it, nothing that the legislators could do about it. And that was the sheriff's stand, and that was great. We need to find out who those two sheriffs were that didn't go along with that. They got to go.
Right. Yeah.
Well, we got to send them to our re-education school.
Yeah. Re-educated. Yeah. Well, that's what's going on now. We're using their tactics against them. You know what I mean? That's what's happening.
Unified.
Yeah. Unified. Exactly. I said this whole business that's going on with the deep state and that, it's like I said. Like even what they're doing with Congress and the Senate, they're making them reveal their crimes. And like when Schiff wanted to get on the committee, he said, "Why do you think we let you on there? You had top secret information that you leaked. You're no good. This is new. Get out of here." He kicked him out. See, he can't get any information now. He has no intel. They kicked him all off. Look at this Congress and this Senate. They're all fraud. They were elected by fraud, so fraud vitiates everything. But they're letting them go through the motions of cleaning themselves up for a reason, I think. It's kind of like when your dog poops on the floor and you take him and you rub his nose in it and throw it outside. That's what they're doing in the Congress and Senate. They're rubbing their nose in it now, and they're waking the people up. But I think ultimately they're going to end up disbanding them and revoting them in, because their fraud vitiates everything. And so we know that there was a fraud election, and they should not have had ratified the vote and approved it. That was treason right there. End of story. I don't need to know anything else. New election, whatever.
Well, that's the problem that the United States Supreme Court and also the military, if you want to include them into it, they don't have a choice but to respond to our papers because of the nature of the paper and the emergency. And we quoted the law, you know, what the law requires us to do, and we're doing it. And now you got to do something about it because that's the law. Otherwise, they become guilty of treason as a principal. And when you're guilty of treason as a principal, that's the end of a rope.
Well, they did that with the Brentson case. By not hearing it, they committed treason.
But there may be something going on there, so we got to be a little careful with that one.
I understand that they probably were told not to hear
it. Yeah, so we got to be a little careful with that.
If they're tainted and they got their arms twisted around their back, whose fault is that? Is that my fault or their fault? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I understand that there's 5D chess going on here, but ultimately, there was no politics in this. The law.
It's a possibility, a strong possibility, and I'm kind of leaning this way anyway, that the people wouldn't understand that, number one.
No,
and then Congress would not be able to get the work done that's been planned in order to reveal this stuff to the people. It's got to be revealed more to the people in order for that to go forward and you go do that kind of an arrest or throwing people out. But with what we're doing, the people won't even know about it. Because they have no clue what goes on in the courts anyway. You could talk to them generally about it. They wouldn't even pay attention because they've been trained not to pay attention. You got a legal problem, you know, you go get yourself a lawyer. It's like if you got a spiritual problem, you go find yourself a priest or something, you know. That's not the way life should be. You know, we got direct lines to God and we got direct lines to our government to have it by consent. Let's take care of business.
Listen, this is a big, big heart attack for them because God forbid they go under military tribunal. All these politicians are used to manipulating the courts and the laws and making and getting extensions and just running the thing in the ground. They get military tribunals, they don't even get the Fifth Amendment. They don't even have the right to not testify, you know, that to not incriminate themselves and stuff because they're under military tribunal.
Well, I agree with you on that. Hey, you got a couple of people in the queue.
Yeah, they're not going to know how to act. I think we went through most of them.
There are two people came in.
Well, Michael M. we did, and John Wiseman we did. Who came?
Well, John, you did, yeah. No, but Michael and Jennifer, maybe a different Jennifer.
We did Michael. I don't know. Let me open up Jennifer.
Matter of fact, it is a different Jennifer because Jennifer, the other Jennifer, came in on a phone.
Okay, let me open her up. I don't. You know what? I don't know if this is going. I am only working on this.
Well, let me do it for you.
I did. I think it worked. Okay. I don't have a full.
And then Michael, we haven't spoke to Michael yet. I don't think.
Okay.
Okay. Well,
Jennifer, you're up.
No, I am the same Jennifer. My phone died.
Ah, you are the same Jennifer.
I am the same Jennifer. And I don't want to make John's blood boil anymore, but I want
to talk about masks? No.
Not the mask, but I did want you guys to look at a case that just kind of, I don't know if it got on your radar, but it's the federal parks, First Amendment case, Price versus Barr versus Price, and that would be Bill Barr, like, under Trump at one point.
Uh-huh.
It got reversed, and rightly so. And basically the synopsis of the case was initially filed by a filmmaker that was fined for filming. He said the fine and the permit process violated his First Amendment rights. Initially the courts agreed, but a year later they reversed their ruling. It was a 2-1 ruling. The dissenting judge wrote this. In a stinging dissent, Judge David Tatel wrote, "By stripping public forum protection from filming my colleagues for the very first time, disaggregate speech, creation, and dissemination, thus degrading First Amendment protection for filming, photography, and other activities essential to free expression in today's world." And these were photography of the federal parks. He explained, "My colleagues reimagined the public forum to protect the stumping politician, but not the silent photographer, to shield the shouting protester, but not the note-taking reporter," he wrote. "These distinctions find no basis in First Amendment jurisprudence. It makes no more sense to exclude certain types of speech from public forums than it does in to police, which squirrels may enter a conservation easement. Judge Tatel explain that the public forum analysis should depend on the forum, not on the type of expressive activity that takes place within the forum. He added, quote, "By stripping filming of the protections afforded to expression in public forums, the court puts us in direct conflict with other circuits and leaving important expressive activities unprotected in places where the First Amendment's guarantee of free speech should be at its apex. And anyways, you might want to check the Barr versus Price. Price won, and then a year later, which just happened in like October or November, they reversed it, so the feds got their way. So, and it's funny that Barr was part of that, and then is representing the feds. And then Garland was involved in it too. So thought you guys might want to check that one out. So hopefully they're getting some help with doing an appeal or doing something to, behind the scenes, that they'll come back at that. But basically, we're not going to be able to get pictures and photography and video of our federal parks that we pay taxes towards, or we shouldn't have to pay that. But anyways, wanted to share that with you guys.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Okay. Michael, you are unmuted. Go ahead.
Hello, Jared.
Hey.
These people put a lot of pressure on me because they take the time right to the end. My first notations of listening tonight was concerning the why does it cost us to go to court? And after that, I put as a question, whose court? Why should there be a cost at all when we come as our own court, the court of record, the law of the land? That was my first. And I'm hearing that if people are challenging the Babylonian civil Roman government just by standing their ground in common court today, am I right or am I wrong? Or in the court of record, am I right or wrong?
Listen, there are courts. It doesn't matter that an imposter is sitting in there. There still are courts.
Right. 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 Right.
So that's what we're. That's why we're banging around in there, hoping to get somebody's attention. I mean, it's.
Right.
I mean, if you don't go in there, then you have to go outside. Then that requires. Well, you know where you go. You end up with a revolution, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're trying to do it on paper and keep it off the street, right?
Well, that's kind of comes in reference to what John said. John made the statement as such as, and my question to John would be, well, why do we have to wait for the courts of record when we are the court? We are the law. We are the law of the land of the people.
And we are, and that's true. If you can get somebody to allow you to, that will put the gun down and allow you to operate. That's the problem. They don't allow you to operate. So we went to to get the Supreme Court to order the lower courts, which they're bound to obey, to do the right thing. And so that that just means that you get every court at the same time. That's all. That you don't have to go to each state and each court and fight this battle. You know, how many million times? If we can get the Supreme Court to rule or not to rule and become treasonous, you know, whatever they want to do, you know.
Okay. Well, I mean, they're calling to the to their courts as being banks, as being UCC commercial controlled for gain banks. I mean, it just doesn't apply to anybody but the people that are. Compliant or not compliant, but due to obey DC's proclamations, being federal workers, does that, mm-hmm. that make any sense to you? That the only people that are subject to DC are actually federal workers.
Yeah, federal workers or anybody that has a contract with them in the terms of contract or whatever, yes. Of course, they're going to tell you that you got a contract with them because of your whatever, your social security number, your driver's license, all this adhesion crap. And so that's the excuse they give these judges for violating your rights, because you're just a fiction.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Okay, using that as a... as an excuse to be in contract, but that contract is only valid through through the what makes a contract is being fully aware, but I've become knowledgeable that is not a binding contract. That's a void contract.
No, because look, we have no contract with them. That those things that they're putting on us are patently false. They wouldn't hold up in a real court of law anyway. I mean, even acknowledge today that there are so many adhesion contracts out there that you can beat just by protesting them. You know those forms you sign at the end of your credit card and all this? Bah, 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 bah. Well, that's not a contract. You don't have the ability to cross some of that stuff out and say, well, I don't agree with that, put this in. So therefore, they force you into it. So if you go, I didn't agree to any of this, even the judges in these corrupt courts will say, well, no, you're right. That's an adhesion. It doesn't hold up. And they have. Yeah. I mean, that's just one that you have to fight to get there. That's all.
And quickly, that's
and actually,
a little bit of information.
I'm sorry. We did it. John and I went into court with a credit card thing, and we held their feet to the fire, and I won, and without prejudice. Anyway, but go ahead.
And the other portion that you brought a little information about, I didn't quite get the first part of it, but it 580 for the church that would get them out of the restrictions of the 501c3.
Yeah, it's a self-supported ministry. It's called, and it's always been there. It's the mandatory injection exemption that the government has to give any kind of ministry, and it doesn't. It's
under the title of being self-supported,
or being a ministry, so to speak. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So the 501c3. Look at okay. So you're a church and you're pushing a religion. But they run them; they're a fiction, and they got to fill out an income tax form. And believe me, I mean, they got to tell how many pairs of underwear they buy their people and all this other stuff. And they call it an exemption, and they make you jump through all these hoops and stuff. Well, this 580, you don't fill anything out. You go, no, I'm exempt, and because I'm exempt, leave me alone. And they have it; it's their paperwork. It's not made up; it is an actual thing. And they can't question it, and they can't, refuse it or whatever. And the reason I think John doesn't like it so much is because you're considered a ministry. But, you know, what's a ministry? You know, we're all ministers. If we're Christians, we're all ministering to each other.
Yeah.
You don't get through an NLA show without John bringing the Bible up, and you don't look at the Constitution of the United States or the Declaration of Independence without hearing about the God of nature and nature's God. So don't tell me we got nothing to do with God and country. And so for me, I have no problem with it at all as far as that goes. You know, I don't want anybody to think that NLA is a church. That we're a ministry, we're handing out dispensations or something.
Well, when I go around and I suggest people go to the NLA website, I say that, and if you're involved in a conversation with me, and any time that you disagree with me, I mean, you're not going to hurt my feelings if you walk away.
Right.
I mean, all I am is an information passer. Either you're gonna take it, look at yourself, or you're just gonna go down the road. Just a couple of quick things here. I know it's late, but the law legislated against who? And I weigh that against the words legality or lawfulness. Well, they're not. How can you legislate? You can't legislate against somebody who is the law and the laws of nature and nature.
Yeah, I see where you're going, and they don't understand that concept that you're putting forward there. But you're right.
Okay,
there's legal and there's lawful, and they are legal. They're not necessarily lawful.
Not necessarily. I like the way you put that. but the
just because you know, if something's lawful, it should be legal. I mean, if it's lawful, how could it be illegal? Doesn't make sense, does it?
No, they're contrary to to each other. And the last thing about holding sheriffs to their constitutionality, or say that, well, we're going to have to remove you if you're not going to be a constitutional sheriff. And would you agree? I think that the best route for us, and the information that has recently surfaced in LA. Well, I found out about you guys that through the people that are over in Wisconsin, that they're not only talking about the oath of office, but the fact that the bonds that they have hold them to the accountability to be to be not in good standing, but good behavior. Thank you.
That's the same with the judges of the Supreme Court. They're not immune.
They're immune.
Yeah, as long as they're in good behavior. And that was Congress's and the Senate's only defense. We're immune. That was the only defense that their lawyer put forward, that they're not that the Brentons can't hold them to anything because they have a sovereign immunity being Congress and Senate, and they can't be held.
How could you
have an immunity clause like that and yet have an oath to the Constitution? One negates the other.
One makes you very unlawful if you go against one of them. So,
but it's like having two pastors. You can't serve
one fault and one true.
Yeah, but if you try to serve both of them, it doesn't work. What does it say in the Bible?
Can't serve two masters.
Right.
There was something else, but in my old age, it went between both my ears. But one thing it's sticking out right in front of me here is that this system is all predicated on the UCC commercial crime wave for gain.
Mm-hmm.
What many people would consider that. The Catharian Mafia, right? I mean,
right.
I think so. All right. I guess I got most of that. I mean, I was just kind of jotting down what the subject matters were over, and I just wanted to go through that real quick and just bounce it off.
Thank you for all your input. And look at next week, same time, same station. We'll see you here, okay?
Are you saying you want to go to sleep?
I'm saying I got to go.
Okay, Gerard.
I've been holding off going to the little boys' room. I gotta get.
we all know that. We'll get up to an age. Have a blessed evening.
Yeah, you too. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, everybody, and God bless. And we'll see you here next week. Thanks for all your participation.